the Last Supper. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you there. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to him, follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I shall eat the Passover? He shall lead you to a room upstairs. All furnished. Make preparations there.' They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until the kingdom of God is fulfilled.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant which is poured out for you.' Thanks be to God. So far, the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Bruce. Do this in remembrance of me. These are familiar words in the church, especially at this time when we are looking at participating in the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Some churches do it differently. Some churches have this inscribed right along the whole face of the communion table. It's either etched in or it's in raised letters. It could be printed on. We do the Lord's Supper in different churches in different ways. Some people call it communion. Some people call it the Holy Supper. Some people call it the Eucharist. Some churches do this every week. Some churches maybe once a year. We here, we do this every other month or so, and then on Good Friday as well. Sometimes we come forward. Sometimes we serve people. Sometimes, in some traditions, they get a big loaf of bread and they have people rip off the bread. Some churches are stuck on wine. They need to have the wine. They need to have the bread and the wine rather than wafers or juice or gluten-free like we do. Some traditions think that it is the body and the blood of Christ itself that we are eating. There's a huge word for that, and I'm not going to repeat it for you. But it all comes down to remembering through bread and through juice or wine. All of us do this together. And as I was preparing for today's service, I was thinking about why we remember like this. Why do we do it this way? Why can't I just talk about it a little bit? And then we remember, right? Why do we do things like this? Why do we get all this stuff together, and why is it such a big deal to come together on Lord's Supper Sunday? It used to be a much bigger deal for us, but it's still a big deal to come together on Lord's Supper Sunday. Why? Well, we get a hint of that in the text today, as Jesus and his disciples are coming together at a certain time just before Jesus' death to commemorate the Passover. The Passover, like all Jewish years before, ever since the time when Israel was pulled out of Egypt by God's hands, did the Jews remember Passover. And it was a similar situation to what we experience today. If you recall, the Passover originated when Israel was enslaved by Egypt. And God sent Moses in and told Moses, you do exactly what I say, and I am going to draw Israel out of Egypt by my righteous hand. I'm going to do this so that everyone will know that I have power and dominion over the oppressor. Because Pharaoh was the most powerful man on the planet at that point. Pharaoh was the leader of this country. He had absolute rule over this country, this nation, that was very powerful, very wealthy, had all the food, and it was a powerhouse nation. And this Pharaoh, he thought he was a god. God won't have that. And as the Israelites were being enslaved because they were growing too big and becoming a threat, they were becoming too big and becoming a threat, and so God said to Moses, pull these people out. 9 plagues went by. Moses relented. He said, I will not let your people go. Then God gave Moses very explicit instructions. He says, have the people prepare a meal. I'll slaughter a lamb, one that's big enough just for your family or for the people in your household, so that you will eat it all. Serve it up with bitter herbs to remind you of the time when you were here. Serve it up with unleavened bread, bread without yeast. And have all this together and eat it. Serve it up in haste, what God said. Eat it in haste, meaning eat it with your hiking boots on and with your to-go clothes. Don't eat it in your pajamas and track pants, because this is going to be the night that you leave Egypt. And make sure that you take the lamb's blood and put it on the doorposts of your homes on the outside, so that when the angel of death comes over, he will pass over your home and go to your next door neighbor or to the neighbor down the road. And the firstborn in every place that doesn't have the blood will die. The firstborn. Firstborn children, firstborn of even animals, died. All of that happened at Passover. And ever since that time, the Jews, up until the time of Jesus, the Jews had been celebrating once per year the Passover. And what did they do? But they roasted up the meat, and they had the bitter herbs, and they had the unleavened bread, and they ate of it. They remembered by partaking in the meal together. They heard the stories that accompanied the Passover, the time, so that they would not forget what God had done, that God had taken the people out of Egypt, that God's salvation plan was working through his act of removing Israel out of Egypt. The only thing is that now, Jesus, as they're serving up the supper, the Passover dinner, something has changed. Jesus as well has been, as would be custom, being the master. If they ate together, Jesus would break the bread. That was normal. But what's different is in what he said. This bread which I break is the body, my body broken. Do this every time you eat it in remembrance, not of the Passover, but in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of Christ. You see, that changed everything. Jesus was signaling here that he is not only, that God's salvation plan has just changed, has shifted into high gear through his salvation act, through what Jesus is about to do by becoming a sacrifice on the cross, the Lamb of God. This is what Jesus was saying. Every time you eat this, which was a staple daily meal for them, as pretty much it is for us today too. Who doesn't have bread in their house? There's a few, I know. And there's a few who do not have wine in their house. But many of us have wine in our houses as well. It's a staple meal, a staple elements of the meal for us all. And so as we come together and we celebrate this meal, we are saying a few things. We are saying that we belong together as the body of Christ. It's interesting. The body of Christ. Where do we hear that? Well, Paul talks about the body of Christ an awful lot. How one part is not greater than the other part. How one part is not, we can't say to the nose, I don't need you, that type of thing. We all need each other. We are all in this together. We are all part of this together. With Christ as our head. With Christ as our head. Just like your head is screwed onto your shoulders, right? Your head guides your body. Your head leads it. You follow it. The body follows the head. Wherever the head wants to go, in most cases. And we are thankful for that. But just the same way, Jesus guides the church. Jesus guides each one of us. We follow him. We take cues from him. We follow. We are Christian. And as well, as we participate together, we are proclaiming all of this. We are telling it. We are saying it together. We are, in effect, preaching, believe it or not. Because as we are coming together as a body, as we are following Christ's lead, we are also, we're also remembering the love of God. The love. His amazing and inexplicable love. Not that he only would create some people like us, create this whole world, create all of creation. Not that he would call it into being. But that he also, at our messing things up, didn't abandon us or didn't destroy us, but sought a way to redeem us. And this is what we are remembering too, that through Christ we are redeemed. So as we partake of the bread and the juice today, we are proclaiming the greatest thing that's ever happened to humanity. That Jesus Christ died and was resurrected and has been ascended for us, we are also saying that the Holy Spirit is now living within us. That God Himself has made it so that He can live within us because we are forgiven sinners. This is the amazing thing. Like, some of us come to church sometimes on Lord's Supper Sunday, because I know I've done it too myself, folks. You know, I've come to church, it's Lord's Supper Sunday. I would walk in, not here, okay, but I would walk in the door and I would sit down in the pew and I would look at the table and go, here we go, another 10 minutes on the schedule, 10, 15 minutes, great. But what we are doing here, folks, is we are celebrating the greatest thing. We are sharing in this story of Christ's almighty love and grace for us. This is the most important thing that we participate in, not just by hearing it, but by actually tasting it. So that as surely as the bread and the wine, or bread and the juice in our case, as surely as you're tasting it on your tongue, you can know in your heart, in your very bones, that you are a forgiven sinner. That you are forgiven. There is no greater thing that we need to know other than that. So as we remember today, as we pick up the elements and as they are distributed out, remember that today. That you are included in God's salvation plan. You're all included. As with all Christians in all the world, you are included in this plan. And you are called to action. You are called to remember. Share the story. Proclaim it. Understand it. And praise God for it. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, in a few minutes, we are going to remember. We are going to remember your gracious love toward us once more. Oh. And as Christ Himself and all those who remembered the Passover, Lord, and shared the story around the table of the meal, Father, of the meal and what it meant, may we not forget what this meal means for us. May we remember that we eat it together, Lord, to be united as one body, that we eat it knowing that you are the head. That we eat it, Father, knowing of your love for us. That we partake of the supper, Lord. Knowing in our heart of hearts that we are forgiven sinners. All thanks to you, and all praise goes to you. In Jesus, amen.